Today we'll be looking at patience. Patience as a fruit of the Spirit. What is patience? What is patience, if I ask? You know, a lot of ideas come into the mind, what we associate patience to be with, and list a few. Patience, is this the passage of time? When time passes, is that patience? Is it the passage of time? Or is it the redeeming of time? Is that patience? Is it the rate at which we attend to things? You know, the Bible will say quickness and slowness. Is that patience? Certain things, Bible encourages us to be quick. Certain things, it says we should be what? We should be slow. is that patience? Or is it idleness? Passivity. They're not active. Is that patience? Or is this stoicism? Big word, Abby. Stoicism. Where you just, you know, you suffer and you stay and you are stoic. Is that patience? Or is it tolerance? Is it tolerance? Is that patience? So you can see there's a lot of ideas that goes on with this thing called patience. But we are going to see for ourselves what patience, remember, patience as a fruit of the Spirit, what it means. Now, with all the things we have mentioned prior to now, all of them, one thing relates, connects all of them together, one thing, and that is time. Time. Time is a common denominator. Everything you do in this world, everything that goes through all of them, is what? Is time. Time. And this time is non-renewable. You cannot renew it. They say, you know, renewable energy. So wind will blow, so the energy will come back and Abby. But not time. I can't go back 1 second now as I'm talking. I can't go back 1 second. It's gone. I can't go back to when I was 10 years old. I can't go back. I cannot renew it. And mind you, there are some people actively working to counter this thing. Actively. Trying to go back into time, try to renew it. And hopefully everything will be affected. Their age will be affected. Everything, you know, they come back new. Imagine how man is thinking. But all this thing is heading somewhere. Even though time is non-renewable, it is redeemable. Time is what? Redeemable. Even though it's non-renewable, but yet we can redeem it. We'll come to see it from the scriptures. And the last one concerning this common denominator is that time is limited. It does not exist forever. That's why it's time. It's limited. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. Time allotment and quantification, that you can measure it and it's allotted to achieve work-life balance for secular living. So if I ask every one of us now, by tomorrow now, 8 o'clock, I have to resume in the office. You have allotted time. 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock is noon. You have your appointments. These are allotments of time, and you can quantify them. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 3. 3, and we'll take 1 to 8, and we'll be specific on verse 2, but we'll take 1 to 8 of Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time to war, a time of war, and a time of peace. You can see, this is life. Allocation of time for several things. And what we try to do is that we try to balance these things. And you hear people say, oh, my work-life balance. What do they really mean? Okay, but that's for another day. But let's see. So that is secular life. The same time that is limited, that is non-renewable, but yet redeemable. So we've seen some things. You could say these are all secular living. You want to go to school, there's a time. Time to grow up, time to mature, time to live things, time to gather new things. All this is in living. But is this patience? Are all this patience? But there's one other fact in time. Let's look at same that Ecclesiastes 3, but let's look at 15 and 17. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Basically, there is nothing new under the sun. Right? But God requires that which is past, that which you have lived. We will all, save Jesus coming, even at Jesus coming, time must end. Whether you pass away or Jesus will come, one thing will happen. Time, as it counts, as a quantifier, must end. And God says he will require it. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Nobody is escaping, no. In this time, there is the righteous. In this time, there is the wicked. And God will judge the righteous, God will judge the wicked, with what they did with their time. God will judge the righteous. God will judge you. Because in time, what we do, God sees it in only two ways. As what? As righteous and unrighteousness. That's what he said. Look at it there. Remember all the things you do, all the things you do in God's eye boils down to two things: righteousness or unrighteousness. So think how you are spending your time. Because God will ask, not, oh, I went to America the year to that, I spent all this there. Oh, I went to university there. They are given for us to do. But what will God judge? Whether what we did amounts to what? Righteousness or unrighteousness. So you ask yourself, is there a way to go to school in righteousness? Is there a way to sit down in righteousness? Is there a way to... Righteousness for us that want to go on the judgment of the righteous, as opposed to unrighteousness for those who want to go with the judgment of the world and the flesh. Let's look at a New Testament for this. Let's look at Romans 14:17. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, which we do in time. In time, we all what? We all go about our business. Meat and drink. But that is not the kingdom. God's kingdom is not our activity, our balance in life, all we do. That's not in God's kingdom. But what is in God's kingdom? But what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the what? In the Holy Ghost. Do you see what is in God's kingdom? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. They are the things that we can, that can happen in time, and yet they will transcend time. My going to work, though needful, but will not transcend time. My making money, though needful, will not what? Transcend time. Will not be such that is in the heaven. Heaven is not meat and drink. But what is heaven? What is in heaven? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And we looked at joy last week. These are the things that will transcend time. They must be done in time, oh, because remember, there is judgment of time. So, time as an inherent opportunity, we can see it as opportunity costs. Well, let me explain opportunity cost. There is nothing we do in this time that will not cost us something. Let me give an example now. All of us here are taking the opportunity to be in church at this time. Meanwhile, there is a cost to be in this place. The cost is that you are not at your home in front of your television or doing something else. All that thing you are not doing right now is the cost you paid to be here, to hear the word of God. That's how time is. You can't do... They'll tell you the first law of particle physics, that two bodies cannot occupy the same space at the same time. You can't do two things at the same time. And therein is the opportunity, and therein is the cost. So we are thinking about it. So what do you give away for God? What do you give away to have the opportunities that God has provided. They cost time. If you are not here, you'll be somewhere else. They cost time. So imagine the decisions you are making for God in time. You know, let me just stroke us a bit. The time we don't come to church early, what are we doing? The time we don't respond to our fellow brethren, what are we doing? Remember, it's opportunity and cost. And God responds in blessings that way. What did you do with your time, mister?
Sir, Lord, I went, I was very active, doing all those things, building my barns. Remember that rich guy? Building his barns, actively working, very productive in the world. Made so much things. Some of us are very proactive, very active in our academics, in our social media space. All this, remember, time is allocated to them. It's not a crime, but will they be termed righteous? Which is what God will look at in the end. So, righteousness and salvation, these are cost benefits. Salvation and damnation, spiritually alive, spiritually dead, temporal living, eternity. These are, God just does it that way. It's a cost and a balance. A cost and an opportunity. So you have to decide which one you will take, and the attendant cost. If I go to church, it will cost me this. If I do this, it will cost me that. Yes, it's the truth. It's real. It's real. We have to appreciate this in time. There is a cost. So what is patience? From what we are looking at, what is patience? Now, we clearly know that it is not all those allotment of time, though it has something to do with time. We've hinted at it in Ecclesiastes and even in the Romans 14 we read. Right? Patience is the Holy Spirit use of time. Is the what? The Holy Spirit's use of time. That's patience. And we know that what the Holy Spirit does is fruit. So basically, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. What he does with time. Not you and I, mind you. It's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's use of time. And of course, we know that the Holy Spirit acts on us. But it's actually what the Holy Spirit does with time. That's patience. Let's see. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Just read a few things there so that we can see. 2 Corinthians 6. We'll take from verse 1 so that we see how the Bible puts it. It says, from verse 1, 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, talking about God and Christ, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time, look at it again, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, In what? Look at it, the first one there. In what? In much patience. In afflictions. In necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonment, turmoils, labor, watchings, fastings. By what? By what? By pureness. By what? Knowledge. By what? Long suffering. All those things should be done in time. By what? Look at the bys. By kindness. By what? By the Holy Ghost. Patience. Things that separate us in ministry. One of them is patience. Holy Spirit, by long suffering, by the Holy Ghost. All that the Holy Spirit does in us, he uses what? Time. And that is what we call patience as the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You can't do it, though. It is the Spirit's work. And funny enough, it is the basis for which God will judge again. I will show you another scripture. We'll get there. Where I'm pointing to as redeemed people, as people who are saved, there is no ability in us to be patient. No matter how you plan it. What this study drives at is to point to our inheptness so that we can cry to God for that which only he does. It is something we must desire. So you desire something that is good, but you have no ability in yourself to do it. So who do you go to? You cry to God. But you must go to God understanding what patience is. You can't just be, God, I need patience. What is this patience? It is the time that the Holy Spirit will use to do his work upon us. Which many of us don't have time for. Essentially, helping to redeem time. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The opportunities available in time while paying the associated costs, such as being alive in God, in repentance, all those things. Imagine, all these things take time. Repentance, salvation, righteousness, love, hope, fruit, gifts of the Spirit. All these things take what? Time. And when the Holy Spirit does them in you, it is called what? He uses patience. The time that the Holy Spirit will use to do his own work upon you, that is patience, which is also a fruit. So when he's doing all these things, the costs, these are opportunities, but the cost is what? You will be dead to sin. Are you ready to pay that cost? When the Holy Spirit does his work, there is a cost. That cost is that you are dead to sin. The time the Holy Spirit is telling you to be patient with somebody, I can tell you at that time, you are not doing the sin of anger. The cost is that sin stops. When the Holy Spirit takes time, the patience, to do his work, you cannot sin. Sin stops. Iniquity stops. When the Holy Spirit is taking time to work upon you, you can't do it at the same time. There is an opportunity and a cost. Denying the flesh and all its lusts. That's the cost. If we will not take time to pay that cost, then we will fall into sin and we'll be committing sin. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. So it's an opportunity cost. The opportunity is to serve God in righteousness. The cost at that time is that you are not doing unrighteousness. You are dead to sin. You are dead to iniquity. But to do this, there must be patience. There must be a deliberate consciousness of time to allot to it. Praise the Lord. Trying to move fast. Okay. In the scriptures, there are two ways to view patience. There are Greek terminologies. I don't know, but sometimes I tend to not use them, but they are essential because it points to two ways patience exists. They are called macrothumenia and hypermonomania. Essentially, two essential. They are Greek words. I'm not a Greek scholar, so I can't pronounce them. But what do they point to? They are, the Holy Spirit does this patient thing in two ways, essentially, in our interactions. The first one, macrothunia, is patience with respect to persons. So when you interact with persons, it's one way to look at patience. Okay? And especially when we face persecutions. Right? When we face persecution, we have to be patient with your persecutors. The time must be taken to provide an acceptable response in line with God's command. That you cannot do, even though you wish it. Somebody abuse you. This is the time I need to be patient to think about it. Okay. You are mad back. Does it work like that? It doesn't. It's an instant response. Somebody caught you on the road. Oh, I need time now to think about it. Then I'll go and meet the man. No! This is living. Human beings can't do it. The Spirit must be in charge. But know what? He must have worked that patience in you over time. You must have been regretting it. Pursuing God, like Paul, who said, God, take this thorn from me. Because you are offending in this all the time. So you seek God. Then one day, all of a sudden, somebody slap you, you just turn the other cheek. Is this me? You are mad, oh, bless you, brother. And you go and sit down and say, wow, I am a changed person. I am a changed person. It is a spirit work, oh. It is a good work. We must desire it. And we must see in ourselves no ability to do it. But when the Spirit does it, it is an observable work. You will see it. You will see it. Let's look at Matthew 10:16. There's a lot of Matthew 10:16. Just pick one or two so we can. This is one class. Matthew 10:16. Where am I? Okay, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. This is what God requires, right? But how do you respond? Are you really harmless like doves? No. This is a spirit walk. Okay, what about hupomonia? So the first one is being patient with our interactions with people. So when God sends you in the midst of people. He expects us to be harmless. He expects us to be to walk among them like doves. But in doing that requires time, and which we have not been trained, as it were. It has not been worked in us. But this is what God requires. The other one, opumone, is talking about endurance. That is the one we know popularly as long suffering. Endurance in putting up with circumstances. And who is in charge of circumstances? God is. So basically, it's being patient with God. Being patient with God. All the time, God, is it where has not answered you? You need to be patient with God. You need to endure all circumstances. You need to endure. That's the other side of patience. And only the Spirit of God works this in us, mind you. No amount of planning. But the desire, what we are saying this is that the desire is what this teaching is pointing to, so that we desire that which is good. So we are being told what is good. We need to desire it. So that when we pray, we know what we are asking God for and why. And perhaps we are not doing it now. For instance, patience in actions. Patience, being slow to impulsive acts. And being quick to consider that act. That is God requiring it. James 1:19. Let's look at that. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? To hear. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. You need to be slow to impulsive actions. Anything that you just we need to find a way. God needs to help us to be slow to it. But then we must be quick to what? Quick to shut up. Quick not to say things that we will regret. That is the Spirit working. That is a fruit. Your mouth will just say, after you have been condemned by your heart. You're like, hey, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. These are observable things. The challenge is that we need to call on God. It's only God that works them in us by His Spirit. And it takes time to do them. Even the Spirit takes time to do those things. But we don't have time to give to the Spirit. Hey, why you tell me not to shut up? Wait, they cannot appeal to your anger. People are like that, though. It's like the moment you beg them, you are putting kerosene and fire together, making the thing worse. Take time, cool down, patience. Look at the guy that they forgave his debt. The story that Jesus told us. Abi? Just forgave him. The next thing he saw is the other guy holding him. What did he do? He just held him. No. I don't have time. I don't have patience. I can't give you patience. You are asking for patience. I don't have to give you. Nah. You must pay me back. But you, they just gave you patience. They just gave you patience. But you don't have patience to give to somebody else. While we see the things that are done by the Spirit, we will name all of them are valid, but they all need time to work. They all work in patience. Everything.
kindness, love, all of them. There are things to be done in time. And this is the time we are allocating to other things. Cost. Throwing away the opportunities. Patience is an unbroken link to be extended to others. You must give it to others. You must give it to others. Okay. Let me take a conclusion so that we'll close this. I'm going to quote a man. Some of the works I got from this man. His name is John W. Rotenbo. That's his name. And what he says, this is a quote from him. Patience is a vital part of the process that enables God to work over a long span of time, if he needs it. Because God cannot be bound by time. But if God needs it, God takes time. The trials of Job, of our Lord Jesus, if God needs it, God will take. Then you need to suffer long. You need to endure. Challenges with life, there are many. In your case, if God needs to span you through time, you must ask God for the patience to endure. And when we don't have those patience, we run to other gods. And you can see it in the life of the Israelites. They never exercised patience with God one day. If God delays any promise, voila, gas. You are no longer our God. And the challenge is because they are transactional in their living. You know what is transaction? Sharp, sharp. You are transactional. And that is the fallen man. Fallen man is transactional. He does this, give me that. That sharp, sharp. God is not transactional. Even though there are some things that look like transaction. No. So patience is a vital part of the process that enables God to work over a long span of time, if he needed, to produce in us other important aspects of his image, so that we may be what? May be perfect, complete, and lacking what? Nothing. He's quoting James there. This is my own, after all this head cracking. Time taken to allow for the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in response to works of salvation. Before what? Final judgment. And I will close with the Bible on this one. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11. Let's see it. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be what? Accepted. Accepted of him. That is of the Lord. Whether we are in this body or we are not. But mark the statements. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his what? In his body. Now tell me. Not the body, oh. The things done in the body. The things that are done in the body. The Spirit of God does things in the body. You and I, flesh, we do things what? In the body. All of those things, God is going to judge. But here he's telling you of what? Whether we are present or absent, we should be what? Accepted. It is the things that are done in the body that God is going to judge. That everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he had done, whether it be good or what? Bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You and I now are persuading ourselves. We persuade men.
but we are made manifest unto God. But I trust also made manifest in your what? In your consciences. May the Lord help us to desire patience of him. Amen. Amen.